This week, the UN said 19,000 people have recently fled the Dominican Republic for neighboring Haiti because of deportation threats. Some fleeing include children born in the DR, two Haitian migrants who've had their citizenship revoked. There have been protests in cities like Miami and Boston of the Dominican Republic's treatment of the darker-skinned Haitians. Some Dominicans in the U.S., like the writer Juno Diaz, have been speaking out as well, which pegged them as traitors to their fellow countrymen. But this week, activists are pausing to commemorate the day U.S. Marines invaded Haiti a century ago and the 19-year occupation that followed. You might be saying, the what? But that occupation has ties to what's going on today. Some call it the forgotten occupation. Haitians, including Robert Fatone, have not forgotten. He's a professor of government and foreign affairs at the University of Virginia and has written about his country's history. Professor Fatone, welcome.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
1915, 100 years ago, why did the U.S. invade Haiti?
Well, the immediate pretext for the invasion was the brutal killing of President Sam. But there were many other more fundamental reasons why the United States occupied Haiti. As you know, there was the Monroe Doctrine. At the end of the 19th century, the United States became one of the major industrial powers. And I think at that point, the U.S. wanted to fulfill its Monroe Doctrine, and it looked at the Caribbean in particular as a zone that would become the so-called American Mediterranean. And there were financial reasons associated with that desire. So the occupation started actually a little bit earlier in some ways, because in October of 1914, the U.S. Marines took over the Haitian Central Bank and took the gold reserves of Haiti and sent them back to Citibank. And that was part of a struggle for hegemony in the Caribbean between the United States, the German, the French, the British, and the United States thought that the Caribbean actually should be, to put it bluntly, its own backyard.
And there was resistance, fierce resistance, from Haitians who did not feel that way. Edwidge Dandicott, the wonderful writer, writes about her grandfather's memories of being one of those insurgents, they were called bandits, who tried to resist the Marines. It was a pretty brutal occupation.
Yeah, it was quite brutal. There was guerrilla resistance against the United States, and it was led by a fellow by the name of Charlemagne Peralt, who was considered as a Haitian hero. He was killed, however, and there are pictures of Charlemagne Peralt which were taken by the United States and dropped by planes over Haiti, and actually that increased the resistance. The picture is a very famous one because he looks like a crucified individual.
Now they pinned him to a door.
Exactly. And the resistance ended by the early 1920s, and several thousand Haitians were killed in the process, and over 15,000 people were jailed because of that resistance. Mm-hmm. The resistance, however, did not stop after the assassination of Peralt. It continued, and actually in 1929 there was a massacre of peasants, and that contributed to a reassessment on the part of the United States in terms of its policies and the occupation, and eventually that led to the formation of a commission, the Forbes Commission, which recommended that the U.S. should exit.
Well, U.S. troops did officially pull out of Haiti in 1934, although the U.S. was involved in Haiti's finances until 1947, and also occupied the Dominican Republic.
Yes, the U.S. occupied the Dominican Republic from 1916 to 1924, and it had significant consequences for both countries. The U.S. created a system whereby very cheap Haitian labor was exported to the Dominican Republic and to Cuba, because in both countries you had major U.S. Plantations, in particular sugar plantations, and Haitians would go there and work, and in return, the Haitian government would be getting a tax. So that was a system of forced labor, if you wish, that benefited the Haitian central government and during the occupation, basically the U.S.
Well, this also brings us to some of today's issues, because as you said, when the U.S. occupied the Dominican Republic, thousands of Haitians were brought over to do dirty work. And these are the ancestors of the Haitians who are now being told they have to go home.
Yes, and this is one of the major problems between the Dominican Republic and Haiti. There's been significant deportations, and in the last few weeks, that has accelerated. Something like 20,000 Haitians were forced to exit the country. Haitian labor in the Dominican Republic is a rather complicated phenomenon. It started, obviously, with the American occupation, but it has been exacerbated lately because the Dominican Republic has had more economic development than Haiti. So poor Haitians, in particular peasants, have been going to the Dominican Republic in order to get some jobs. And in return, the Dominican Republic uses that labor, which ultra-cheap labor, for the construction industry and for the tourist industry.
Well, look, I mean, obviously, we're hearing negative after negative results of the occupation of both Haiti and the Dominican Republic for the Haitian people. But what about those who would say, look, before the U.S. invasion 100 years ago, the Haitian population had bloody coup after bloody coup. There were no coups during the U.S. occupation. The Americans did build some roads and bridges. They collected taxes. How is the occupation thought of, though, by Haitians?
Well, it's a very vexing issue for Haitians. Any country that has been occupied would obviously feel quite angry and humiliated by that occupation. And Haitians felt humiliated, and at the same time, they were quite proud that there was resistance. The issue of the contribution of the American occupation is a very good question. But it was an occupation where there was no coup, but there was no coup because there was an imposed silence on the part of the occupiers. When Haitians tried to resist, they were immediately put down. It was a period of pacification, and it was, as we said, a very brutal pacification, and it was also a very racist pacification. The U.S., when they got to Haiti, were part of, a white supremacist order at the time. And it is very clear that U.S. policymakers, from President Wilson to Foreign Secretary Bryan, had very racist views of Haitians as incompetent, inferior, essentially savages. And not surprisingly, that led to significant tensions.
Edwidge Dandicott has a great quote. I will be gentle with it, but it's from then-Secretary of State William Jennings Bryan, who, in speaking of Haitians, said, "Think of it, the N-word, speaking French," because it was unimaginable to them. That kind of reflects the view you were just describing. If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Professor Robert Faton of the University of Virginia about an anniversary that's being commemorated in Haiti this week, 100 years since the start of a 19-year occupation by U.S. troops. So, Professor, what is that anniversary like in Haiti?
Well, it's bittersweet because in Haiti, you had some meetings to remember the occupation. But Haiti in 2015 is basically an occupied country. The United Nations has a peacekeeping force. Our elections are basically controlled by foreign powers. And economically, we really have a situation of utter dependence. So we are still, to some extent, an occupied country without the brutality, if you wish, of the first occupation. But nonetheless, many Haitians feel that the country has yet to recover its full sovereignty.
Well, so are you tying it to the American occupation or to what some Americans would tie it to, which is corrupt leaders, vicious natural catastrophe that Haiti's born? They would point to that.
Oh, absolutely. The Haitian ruling groups are very corrupt. That corruption, however, is not uniquely Haitian. Actually, during the occupation, one of the major American economic advisors, a fellow by the name of William Cumberland, was known to have stolen a lot of money. And the name Cumberland has become, in Creole, a word that means that you're going to steal. So it's nothing new. It's Haitian, but it is not particularly or uniquely Haitian. Granted, the ruling groups in Haiti have been predatory and corruption is a real problem in the country, but it is not, I would argue, the key issue. Plenty of countries are corrupt and yet they are not so dependent And at the same time, they've seen some significant improvement in the livelihood of their population.
Well, you say it's because of a century of a feeling of being an occupied country, born out of having been an occupied country. Does it surprise you that most Americans, if you asked, I bet wouldn't know that the U.S. occupied Haiti for 19 years?
Well, I'm not surprised because there is a certain ignorance about the past. It's not just in the United States, but also in Haiti. Many people forget the past, and the problem with that is that there is a need to remember those events in order to change the course, if you wish, of the present.
That's Robert Fatton, a professor in the University of Virginia's Political Science Department, also author of Haiti, Trapped in the Outer Periphery. He's been speaking to us about the 100th anniversary of the U.S. occupation of Haiti. Professor, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
And by the way, he mentioned the Monroe Doctrine. It called for the U.S. to respond if Europeans colonized a country. The U.S. thought the French and Germans were going to in Haiti, hence the U.S. occupation. Fascinating piece of history. You're listening to Here and Now.